From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. President Obama is to talk with top advisors about security and counterterrorism today. And aides say he's likely to speak publicly about new steps to safeguard U.S. citizens after those meetings. News reports say the bomber who killed seven CIA employees in Afghanistan was an al-Qaeda agent. The top military intelligence officer in Afghanistan is criticizing U.S. intelligence efforts in the country. And an al-Qaeda wing in Yemen claims it helped prepare the path for the attempted bombing of a Northwest Airlines flight heading to Detroit on Christmas Day. Yemen has become a new focal point of U.S. attention in combating terrorism. The U.S. Embassy in Yemen reopened today. It closed Sunday under a terror threat. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen has more on that.
The Americans here in Sanaa say they've reopened their embassy because of what they call successful counterterrorism operations conducted by the Yemeni government security forces north of the capital. They're referring to a strike on Monday that reportedly killed two al-Qaeda operatives. The security situation here has been fragile for some time. The embassies closed periodically because of warnings, and in the case of the U.S. embassy, an attack in 2008, which killed embassy staff and civilians who were queuing to get in.
That's the BBC's Jeremy Bowen reporting from Sana'a, the capital of Yemen. A federal appeals court has upheld the conviction of Zacharias Moussaoui. He is the only accused plotter in the 9/11 attacks to stand trial in the United States. Moussaoui is serving a life prison sentence for helping to plan the attacks. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
Moussaoui's case was one of the most high-profile terrorism trials ever to take place in a civilian court. He pleaded guilty to plotting with al-Qaeda to fly airplanes into American buildings. Prosecutors sought the death sentence, but a jury sentenced him to life in prison. Moussaoui then appealed his conviction. His lawyers said Moussaoui didn't fully understand the impact of his guilty plea. They argued that classified evidence prevented him from getting a full defense. The Fourth Circuit Appeals Court in Virginia has now rejected those claims. The judges wrote, Moussaoui has failed to demonstrate that the government withheld exculpatory material that would have caused Moussaoui to forego his guilty plea and proceed to trial, much less evidence of his actual innocence. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
Farmers in the South are scrambling to save crops as bitter cold grips the eastern half of the U.S. Emergency services are trying to help people in states where prolonged cold weather is unusual. Mark Kelly of Alabama's Jefferson County Emergency Management Agency says people in the Birmingham area are having a tough time.
According to the latest weather forecast, we're looking at the longest extended stretch of bitterly cold weather, particularly in the evenings, that we've had in probably a quarter century.
Forecasters say they expect the deep freeze to last the rest of the week. This is NPR News. People who smoke have a higher risk of diabetes, but a new study shows that people who quit smoking have an even higher risk in the short term. NPR's Richard Knox reports.
Earlier studies have shown that heavy smokers have about a 40% higher risk of diabetes after allowing for other factors. So people who quit smoking should have a lower risk of developing diabetes. But a study in the Annals of Internal Medicine finds that people who quit have up to a 73% higher risk of diabetes. The risk peaks 3 years after quitting and takes 12 years to return to zero. The reason is apparently that many people gain weight after they stop smoking, and weight gain is a potent risk factor for diabetes. Study authors say the risk is highest among those who gain the most. The lesson is that doctors should monitor those who quit smoking for signs of diabetes and maybe prescribe nicotine pills or patches to blunt the weight gain. Richard Knox, NPR News.
Another new study says that over the past 10 years, increasing numbers of adults in the U.S. are being prescribed two or more psychiatric medications. The study appears in the current issue of the Archives of General Psychiatry. It shows patients often receive medications whose side effects or effectiveness may not be well understood. The study's authors say the increased use of prescription psychiatric medications may reflect changes in medical practices more than an increase in psychiatric diseases. And a federal analysis says the recession has dramatically slowed U.S. health care spending, but it still grew at a faster pace in 2008 than the economy as a whole. Oil prices have been rising around the world to close to $82 per barrel today. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.